Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale. Dungeons & Junkies presents Escape from Wolfhunt, Episode 4, Riding in Style.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
Welcome back to Game Junkies present Dungeons & Junkies. Another great episode on the way, this time being helmed by View from the Top Ropes, Chad. So, would you like to take it away, our kind DM?
I mean, kind is maybe a bit of an overstatement, but I am the DM for this adventure here. And yes, I will take over. And hello, everyone. And before we start and give a short little recap about everyone, tells us who their character they are playing. And let's start right away with our brand new adventurer who will be joining us here in Ulfham. Please introduce yourself.
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay, hi, I am playing Tamelne, a half-elf ranger. She is from a noble family, and has been repeatedly throughout her life adopted, which read as kidnapped, by an elf queen, and is currently on the run from at least 5 parental figures.
Okay, so home alone, got it.
And we will soon see how Tamelne joins up with the rest of our adventures. But we will now go over to Caitlin.
Hello, I am Caitlin. I am playing my favorite angry boy, Damien, who doesn't stand for any of Vicious's shit, no matter how much he nearly kills him. He's an Air-Ganassi warlock, and he hates everyone.
Very, very upset. Definitely could use some, just some yoga or something in his life. But we will move on next to Carrie.
I am playing Nunvark the Fabulous, the Wood Elf Warlock, who's still kind of low-key sulky at the rest of you for beating up his new BFF.
With that, we will pop over to Alex.
I am playing Cal, the Tabaxi Bard, also Matt. Not Matt, LB's best friend.
Which I'm and then... And then finally, we have Matt. Who will you be playing as today?
I am playing LB, the Hildwarf soldier cleric, who has developed a penchant for becoming a dwarf size 4. Loving lightning right now.
That I, of course, will be playing everyone else in the world.
Yay!
Everyone else in this horrible, horrible world.
And as Damien likes to say, this horrible, horrible world that we are entering is once again called Wolfham. It is a dimension where anything and everything can wind up, and it always seems to be the things that no one else wanted. And through that, many, many things are possible. But in our last adventure, we found our 4 adventurers hired by Vicious through not exactly, subtle means as much as putting bombs into your necks and saying, you will now do what I want. And with that, he sent you out on a mission to shake down a local shopkeeper named for Nunvark's best friend and for Hawkins, the lizard folk, who really didn't want to do anything except make some money. And you guys were told to kill him, and without any pretense at all, Damien went, all right, cool, boom, time to start going. And with that, you were rushed in, Bart rushed into the scene, collected the gold and diamond, or not the gold, the diamonds that you had found, and sent you on your way. So at this point, you were all sent back. You did go back to your rooms at the Overlook Hotel. And you rested through the night. You got your, 8 hours of sleep, or your 4 hours of trance, or whatever you require to get yourself back to full HP, and also all your spell slots and abilities of that such have been returned to you. But with that, we will now come to the next morning, where we will join our adventurer already in the dining hall of the Overlook Hotel. And first of all, I'll give you a brief description of this dining hall. It is a massive, cavernous, gorgeous space. The kind you see back in medieval times, where this could fill hundreds of thousands of people, it seems, in it. Because it's just so massive that it doesn't even make sense that it's actually inside of this hotel. Because from being inside of it, you imagine that it is actually bigger than the whole hotel from the outside. So it is blowing your mind a little bit by that means. But there are giant 15-foot ivory columns from floor to ceiling. The ceiling is made of red and gold marble with actual gold, it seems, enlaced in very ritualistic and cool flowing designs that go across the floor. It is completely covered with long, ornate tables and long, ornate benches and chairs that all would belong in a, say, Valhalla painting from Norse mythology, where they seem to be covered in ruins and gorgeously crafted. And the entire hall is just filled with these chairs. And at this time, they're being filled, as the dining hall is very raucous this morning, as the entire hall is filled with all manner and sorts of devils and demons that you see about. Who are just, there's a cacophony of laughter and just infighting and everything like that. And as we kind of pan back on the hall to see all the, from the ceiling, you can see a large banner that is hung across the top that says, "Welcome, devils and demons of the Ninth Circle of Hell. It is their yearly company retreat." So the hall is filled with all manner and levels of devils and demons. But we come now to our adventurers, who are at a table very close to the front of the hall, which has a giant, long, single table that has all manner of meats and like cheeses and all manner of food that is strewn across this giant table, with actual like carvings, or there's zombies and skeletons out there in very nice white chef's coats and very well dressed, slicing off hunks of beast and meat for all these people going through this line for their breakfast and everything like that. So we will start, before we do anything else, with our four main adventurers so far that we've met before. And we're going to go around, and you're going to tell every one of us what your dream breakfast plate is. Because as I said, this kind of long table has anything and everything on it. So we're going to start with, we're going to go with Cal. Cal, what does your dream breakfast look like here?
Right. Probably bacon, eggs, sausage, beans, tomato, and a bit of pigeon.
So an English breakfast plus a pigeon.
I mean, he is a cat.
I'm writing down English breakfast plus a pigeon.
I mean, what's more English than a pigeon?
He is a cat.
I have seen Alex eat a breakfast as well. It's not pleasant.
What? With the pigeon?
Matthew,
depends what hotel you're at.
One in London would be odd.
Right away, even though we haven't even introduced the character yet.
We haven't met you yet. You get inspiration.
Yeah, that's why I'm not doing the voice.
With Cal's breakfast named, we will pop over to LB. What does your dream breakfast look like?
Well, as a dwarf, obviously, I don't do... In the barracks, we had a very simple thing, very, very lean meal. But if I had to have something, it would have to be my mother's home-cooked porridge with just a slight on the side of some half-cooked venison. Just goes quite nicely with it.
Fair enough. Nunvar, what you eat now?
Oh, and a bag of mead, of course.
All right, Nunvar, what you eating on?
Nunvar is also eating the porridge, but this variety comes... It's quite sweet, and it comes with a fresh fruit, and he likes his tea, so he's having more tea.
And finally, what sustains Damien's rage through all these days? I mean, he must start with a balanced breakfast to keep him going this throughout the entire day.
I mean, most of Damien's life he lived off what he had, so he's probably honestly just on, like, some toast and pure black coffee. No, like his non-existent soul.
That's the only way to drink coffee.
Even funnier, because he's a warlock, so he probably doesn't have one anymore.
All right. Well, as I said, all four of you are near the front of the dining hall, enjoying your breakfast of choices. And with that, as you're eating your breakfast, you, from out of your peripheral vision, you see Bart storming into the dining hall in his baggy coat with all of his pockets, just things just falling out of all of his pockets at all times, kind of sticking out, everything like that. Well, at this point, he's still like 30 feet away from you, but no, at this moment, there'd be nothing shiny sticking out. It's all just papers and that kind of thing. And
my Raven Julius steals some of the pigeon from Cal's plate.
Why is a raven eating a pigeon?
Actually, he wants it.
Also, now I think about it, I think that's just a thing that happens.
Would vicious mockery work on the pigeon?
I mean, the pigeon's dead, so good luck with that. I mean, I don't think you can use vicious mockery on Julius, because he's not attacking you.
No. And he's also a magical construct.
He's also a spirit, yeah.
Yeah, he's a magical construct, so your vicious mockery really wouldn't do anything. Basically, what you see is Cal just kind of spitting venom in Draconic at this... celestial raven that's on Damien's shoulder and eating the pigeon and just giving no fucks that you are even talking to it, just enjoying the but with that, Bart kind of rushes up to the table with a half elf ranger in tow with him and kind of sits down at the table and motions for the ranger to also take a seat. And Bart very excitedly, "Oh, you all, you know, you were what Mr. Vicious thought you would be. You really did a great job. We saw everything you did. Mr. Vicious reviewed it, loved it. So we've decided we're gonna upgrade you, I guess some would say."
LB waves his spoon, can't talk, eating.
Nunvark remembers he did absolutely nothing in the fight. Apart from shout at everyone.
That's fine, Mr. LB. You do as you will. That's fine. Enjoy your porridge. Rest, everyone else will have to inform you of what's going on. But as I said, Mr. Vicious was very impressed, and it's a time for payment and upgrades. So first of all, we're going to add another adventurer. Mr. Vicious was so impressed with you that he thought that you guys could use another friend, if you will. And Bart moves over. This is Tamerlan. Correct? I don't remember your name as well.
Yeah, you can call me Tam. It's much easier.
Tam? This is Tam. Tam, please introduce yourself to the friends here of Mr. Vicious.
Hi. I don't know. What would you like to know about me, really?
Do you have food?
No. I was rather hoping to have some of all of this. It's been a while since I last ate anything.
With that, Bart actually kind of stops you for a minute and goes, "Oh my gosh, I didn't even realize. You, of course, you do have a room here now. You are more than welcome to grab yourself a plate from over there. And actually, if you want, you can grab two, because that bitch, Lorelei, made me pay for a room just to come in here today, even though she knows I'm just here on business, but, you know, whatever, it's fine. It's just my own money, and I don't get paid. Whatever, I don't need to talk about that with you guys. But yes, Tam, if you would like to grab a plate right now, you can wait, actually, because I have a few more things to say to all of you. I apologize. Much to do, much to talk about." With that, he actually reaches into his coat, and out of one of his pockets, he pulls a large satchel that you can hear jingle and he kind of drops it down in the middle of the table and goes, your payment from the last adventure, 50 blood rubies for each of you. And Tam, we threw in the 50 rubies for you just because, you know, we think you're going to do great things with these people here. So we thought we'd give you a bit of a down payment on this adventure.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
Damien.
What?
Remind me to tip L'Oreal later, LB says between mouthfuls.
Oh, I'm way ahead of you, don't worry.
With that then, Bart once again reaches into another pocket. As I said, there's just so many pockets on this coat, it doesn't seem to make any damn sense how many pockets there are.
Mary Poppins, what is this shit?
Mary Pockets.
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. But yes, Bart reaches into another pocket, and out of this one, he pulls a large black crystal that he holds in his hand for a second, and he looks down at it and he goes, oh, and as I said, upgrades were promised to all of you for your fine service. And Tam, once again, we're just really throwing you into this because we believe in what you're going to do for us. With that, he puts his other hand on top of the black crystal and he kind of like turns the top. And as he turns the top of this crystal, all five of you feel the device in your neck heat up. And then as that heats up, it actually spreads a warmth throughout like your whole body. Like it feels like something might either going through your nervous system at this point that is now spreading through your entire body as a warmth just encompasses you. And as Bart is turning it, he completes the click. And as he completes the click of this crystal, the warmth kind of reaches almost it almost hurts for a second where the heat is almost too much through your nervous system. Like you almost feel yourself quake a little bit before it just completely then starts to dull and just go away. And to get real meta for a second, this is actually why you all got to choose a new feat that you now have on your character sheet. So the feat that you chose, actually the power that you're getting it actually comes from the bomb/device that is in your neck. So if this said device was ever to be removed, you would lose the use of this feat that you chose.
I mean, the fact it's linked to the bomb makes sense for my one.
Likewise.
Okay.
Alert.
But yes, it actually, I guess, might as well, if we're getting meta here, why don't all five of you just go and quickly tell the folks out there what your new feat is. And Caitlin, you already, or Damien, you already kind of said it, so I'll just throw it out there again.
Yeah, I picked alert because Damien is sick of people trying to sneak up on him and get the jump on him, so I can't be surprised. I have +5 to initiative, and creatures don't get advantage against me if they're hidden.
Yeah, that's a wise decision from Damien. We're going to pop over to Nunvark then. What did you choose for your feat?
Well, Nunvark now has Diplomat. It means he's now doubly proficient. He gets a double proficiency bonus in persuasion because he's already proficient in it. And it means if he's talking to a non-hostile creature for at least 1 minute, he can charm them as long as he stays within 60 feet of them.
His beauty just spreads and spreads throughout the world of Wolfhelm. Pop over to our newest adventurer, Tam. What did you choose?
I don't think I can pronounce this. Svirfnblblin magic. which apparently is a dwarvish thing, which I didn't know. But,
Dwarven racial feat.
Oh. I think I may have clicked, I think I may have selected feats not to be limited on this character.
It's totally fine.
It's a magic.
But yeah, it just gives me some new spells and allows me to cast non-detection on myself at will. So yeah, gives me some pretty neat sort of hiding sort of spell stuff.
Whose will?
Nice. All right, we're going to go over to Cal on that terrible joke.
Will up dog.
I picked Lucky, purely just because I think it's quite fitting for him. So, if I want, I have 3 luck points and I can make either the DM or whatever we're fighting, or checks or anything, re-roll by using an additional 20. And I get my 3 luck points every long rest.
Yep, and you can re-roll one of your dice if you wish before I tell you the outcome of what would happen with your luck points as well. And then finally, we go over to LB.
LB didn't get enough of the magic juice, basically. So LB has chosen to be magic initiate wizard, where he gains 2 wizard spell list and one level spell from the same list. I can cast at lower level once per long rest. The cantrips I chose were Mage Hand and Shape Water, because you never know when you're going to need to create some water going against you. And my spell is Jump, which, if memory serves me correctly, is...
makes you jump.
Exactly.
It's a moon.
Yep,
Or I touch a creature and its jump distance is tripled for a minute.
I let you in a mouthful of hot chocolate there, Jesus Christ.
Fantastic.
Oh, how Damien dies, everybody.
With that, we'll go back to the actual game. And as I said, as the Bard finishes turning this crystal and the feeling of warmth kind of dissipates from your nerves, he puts the crystal back in his pocket and he looks at you all and he goes, "You're welcome. But now it is time to give you your next job." And
can I have some breakfast first, please?
Oh, of course, Tam. And lets you go up to the breakfast table.
Tam just goes to the... Tam just gets a massive pile of hash browns and probably some beans. Fried tomatoes, because that is my legit
and then favorite hash breakfast.
There is nothing better than hash browns for breakfast.
Leaning cow of hash browns.
It's more like a mountain.
Mount hash brown. Got it.
Mount hash brown. As Tam rejoins the table with Mount hash brown and a big ass bowl of beans. And is then just happily just wolfing down this food. Because it is the first time that they've been allowed to eat in multiple days. Bart reaches into one of his exterior pockets, and he pulls out a large scroll that's still bound. And he looks at you all and he goes, "So, this is a big mission, very important. It's going to serve 2 purposes. 1, we need you to get us something, and 2, we need you to figure out what happened to the other people we sent to get it."
They're dead. End of story.
Well, obvious. You see. So with that, he takes the scroll and he unfurls it in the middle of this large table. He doesn't knock over any of your plates or anything like that. But as he does, you can see this scroll. In the middle is a picture of Ganymede, and you can see then the center of Ganymede is the Ganymede town square. You can see on this map with the Golden Corral, and then outside of the giant circular park that is Ganymede, it just seems like a swirling magical fog on the paper. But you can actually see it moving across the paper as if this paper is enchanted. And with that, Bart, he pulls out what looks like a small pencil, but it's a wand, so kind of a little wand that he has. Bart pulls this out of his pocket, and he clicks, or he points to a spot on the map, and he goes, "Where we are sending you is to a recently scryed island that just recently appeared to us." And as he touches the map, a island appears in this spot. The fog on the paper dissipates away from it. And you can see this island it doesn't look like a huge island on the map. In comparison to Ganymede, it is nothing almost. It would be at most 1/8 the size of what Ganymede is as a whole. But you can see on the map that the shape of the island could be concerned that it looks like it's horns almost on the top, and then a long, facial structure that kind of stretches down below that. You could say it might look like a cross between a devil and a bull, but once again, it is just a landmass. So I'm just trying to give you an idea of what this island looks like in scope, though. With that, though, Bart, again, continues to talk. Recently, when we had our scryers, they found an amulet that is very important to Mr. Vicious and his work and his desires. And so, last week, after we had found this, we sent one of our best teams of Loxodons there to recover said item. That was 6 days. We haven't heard from them since. And with that, he kind of like absentmindedly reaches into another interior pocket. And with that, he pulls out a semi-large looking ruby that is also glowing. And as he holds it out in front of you, he clicks on the top of it with his little wand. And from this ruby, actually, sound begins to come from this ruby. Like, it's very, you can hear that it's from far away, and it's almost grainy, the sound of it. But as it begins to talk, you hear, found an entranceway 2 days north of where we camped. Don't really know what's going on here. We're going to open these doors, and we're going to head down. Looks like it heads down underground. And with that, Bart clicks the top of the gem, and the voice cuts off. And at this moment, I need you all to roll me a insight check, please.
Does this guy only talk with gems?
Insight, you say?
14.
Yes.
Wisdom insight. That is a 7 plus 4.
30, 20.
22.
11.
Okay. So Cal and Damien, as you're listening to this message, you both also see that Bart, as he clicks off on with his wand on the top of the crystal, the look that he gives to the crystal, like, it's kind of a look of fear, and you kind of can tell that Bart might be trying to hide something here. Would you like to do anything about this, or would you like to let Bart continue talking? It's kind of like a moment in time where you're both noticing this.
Is that the last thing you heard from them, Bart?
What? Well, Mr. Damien, it was the last. With that, I need you to roll an intimidation check.
I'm good at those.
Did I, like, retract my claws slightly and give, sort of stick them into his back, and I'm like, are you sure that's not, there's not anything you're leaving out?
You can also roll me an intimidation check, please, then.
That's a crit 20 plus 6. Damien's terrifying.
I was going to add more to it, but I don't think I need to at this point.
Well, you wouldn't know what's going on, Albie. You didn't notice shit.
No, but I was going to see these two and try to intimidate.
24.
Yeah. Awesome. So, you two psychopaths, you can, Damien leans in, and Julius kind of like hops over, and Bart already's had problems with this bird, so just the bird being close to him kind of freaks him out, which means he tries to like back up, but Cal has his claws directly into that, so Bart feels claws pierced into his back as little like trickles of blood kind of start to come out of it, and he goes, I guess. All right, fine. I'll show you the rest. And he once again clicks on the top of the ruby. And what comes after this? So all you can hear, it's not actual talking. At first, all you can hear is like guttural sounds of, seems like flesh and blood and things being torn apart and just screams of unimaginable pain. Before near the end, like right as like these noises all begin to finally fade out, you hear this in Elvish, so only Nunvark and Tam would hear this or understand it. And the only three words you hear in Elvish, and they're very quiet, are "for my love." And then the sound once again cuts off on this one.
I didn't think about mentioning that earlier.
Mr.
Can you please take your claws out of my back?
After you explain.
Mr. Vicious wanted to see how you would handle not getting all the information. It was another test for Mr. Vicious, and you passed. He wanted to see if you would know to check for, you know, if I was lying or not. I was told to lie to you.
I'm not a very good liar.
Well, you still passed the test.
Alright, I'll retract my claws.
I don't make Julius come back. Julius stays there.
So Bart just staring at the bird, but still staring at the bird, begins to explain once again. Okay, what we need is we need you to go to Isla Diablo, and we need you to see if you can find the remains or what happened to the Loxton crew, and also we need you to find this amulet. And with that, he pulls out from another exterior pocket. He pulls out a black onyx. It looks like almost a pocket watch. It's on a chain. And he holds it out and he actually gives it to Tam. That right there, that's a tracker. We still have a signal from one of the Loxodon's gems. And this will lead you straight there. Oh my gosh. Can you please move your bird?
Have you told us everything?
I have more to say, and I just don't know if I can do it with the bird right in my face. I like my eyes.
I throw Julius some pigeons so he doesn't, so he stops looking at Bart for a bit.
And say if you didn't, then I would have tried animal handling or something on
him. Yeah, good luck with that.
With that, Bart lets out a long sigh and kind of relaxes.
Tam kind of pats him on the because he looks rather rattled.
Very, very kind. Very kind. Okay, so we have set you up with some travel arrangements. We just need you to head over to the Golden Crane Hatchery. Newly renamed, newly repainted, newly redone because of your excellent work yesterday. So good on you guys. Of course, free rentals there for you guys on your transport. What you'll need to do is after you go there, if you head towards the North Gate and then just head straight north until you reach the edge of Ganymede, you'll be able to catch a ferry there and show him the translocator that I gave Tam there, and he will be able to send you to Isla Nublar, or Isla Diablo. We're not in Jurassic Park, sorry. I got a little confused. That island appeared a few years ago. It was terrible. So much chaos. Can't believe what happened here. It was rough, but we survived. It was all good. We rebuilt, you know, bigger, stronger, faster. So we will need you to head out there, get those mounts, and then grab that amulet for us and head on back.
Okay, I want to say Tam takes the thing, pocket watch thing he's been given, and kind of just, like, stores it kind of in it, like, in a pocket under a jumper. She has, like, some kind of waistcoat on under there that for storing stuff that she doesn't want nicked. My other question was, what was it we were given earlier? Say, rubies?
Yep. Oh yeah, gold means nothing in this world. Okay. So you're given 50 blood rubies.
Okay. Sam's gonna just ask this guy whose name she has forgotten. Sorry, Mr. Bart, did you say you don't get paid?
I mean, I get paid some, but not enough, and especially not when that bitch Lorelei keeps making me pay to come in here.
Tam would like to give him, like, 10 of her rubies.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
It's all right. So I grew up in a rather rich family, so I try to help those less fortunate when I can.
With that, Bart reaches into one of his inner pockets of his coat, and he pulls out like a vial, and he hands it over to you, and he goes, just in case anything ever, you know, harms you or anything like this, here, take this. And he hands you a potion of greater healing, which you can take and add to your inventory, and if you ever use it, I will tell you exactly how much that'll heal you. With that, Bart kind of snaps back to realize that the rest of you are still there, even though Tam was being so nice to him. And he kind of looks back and goes, your loyalty switches that you keep in your neck. So you're aware, there is a failsafe in the
devices, if you will, that if you leave Ganymede and you don't contact us, they will automatically go off, as Mr. Vicious will assume you are a deserter and thus can't let his property be out there to be used by someone else.
Oh, excellent.
What is fucking property?
Employees, properties. Mr. Vicious kind of deals in, you know, different kind of pronouns than you do.
Oh, he's so just rolled his eyes at this whole thing.
Would Sam make you his bitch then?
Damien is swearing an abyssal right now.
Which Bart does understand every word of, and it was just kind of staring at you, and he's like just absolutely aghast at the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, that's why I think of Vicious.
Is there anything else to cut us then, Bart?
No. I do have a taxi waiting outside for you guys to take you over to the hatchery. But with that, you see that he like he kind of his head like tilts to one side for a second, and he goes, "Oh!" And he once again pulls out that red gem that he like had that message played to on him before, and he taps it with his wand. And as he does, you see a face, just like a hologram, like of a face in red appear. And it looks like just a man with like a bald spot, but then he still has like really long, long flowing hair behind it, tied into a ponytail. You can't really tell anything more about it because, as I said, it's all in red. It's not like a Hulk perfect. Hogan. Yeah, it's Hulk Hogan. But with that, Bart looks at this and he goes, "Yes! All right. Oh, you're saying the Aboleth is ready for the ritual? Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Mr. Vicious will be so happy. He'll be so happy. All right. Thank you, Rasputin. I will rush over there immediately. I will talk to you soon." And with that, he clacks the top of the crystal and stows it back into his coat. And he looks at all five of you. "Okay, well, I must be off. Many things to do. Much work. But get that amulet and tell us what happened. And Mr. Vicious will, of course, reward you happily. But until next time..." And you see he just kind of sprints out of the dining hall.
Have fun with your ritual. I shout to Bart with me. "One last thing, Bart, quickly, please."
"Yes, Mr. Elby."
I walk over to him quickly, and I cast my spell command. pay L'Oreal more rupees, and then walk away.
And that's your spell save DC.
Is a 14.
Well, that's a crit 20. So Bart turns and looks at you, and knowingly, this is the first time you actually see any like substance of anger in Bart's face at all, where it actually looks like fire is burning behind his eyes. He says, "Don't ever fucking tell me to pay that woman any amount of money. She's a fucking snake."
I stopped feeding Julius Pigeon, so he's focused on Bart again.
I half smile and just like nods and walk back to the table to finish my porridge.
With that, Bart does then finish sprinting out of the room to go about his business, not even ignoring Julius, unless Julius is going to continue following him.
Nah, Julius will find him later.
All right.
Fucking ominous.
Does not approve.
Yeah, welcome to Damien. You're not going to approve of anything he does.
Well, at this point, you are now all at this dining table with your breakfast in front of you. You have what your mission is, and there is a cab waiting out front for you to take you to the Golden Crane Hatchery. What would you like to do at this point?
Finish Mount Hashbrown.
Yeah, finish Mount Hashbrown. Also, wasn't it an aboleth we acquired for him last time?
Yes.
And now he's doing a ritual, so that's a delight.
But you weren't really expecting him to keep it as a pet, were you?
I was more expecting it for him to use it on, like, citizens and devour them in order to sustain their power or something dumb like that.
Nunvark remembers he's not talking to you guys and goes back to his breakfast.
You realize you're going to have to talk to us eventually, Nunvark.
Nunvark is a 200-year-old sulky child when he wants to be. I recently learned that 200 years when you're an elf isn't as close to 30 as I thought it was. He's quite a lot younger than that. If you equate it to human years, apparently. Still an adult, but...
Say, Tam probably will go and, like, sit next to him, because, you know, don't see other elves a lot, even though she's only a half elf.
Nunvark is slightly wary of other elves.
Only half?
We should introduce ourselves to this other one, shouldn't we?
Well, I'm LB. I'm a former soldier. I'm a dwarf, as you can see. Like the hammer. Nunvark doesn't like me at the moment because I decided to electrocute the hell out of his best friend.
You barely did anything, mate. We did all the work, but alright.
Okay. Nice to meet you, I suppose.
In fairness, we were told to kill him, and yes, I agree, Damien, you did most of the work, but I was the one who...
Who did Cal?
Freddie Mercury there did a number, I suppose, but, you know.
Freddie Mercury has already left.
Okay, bye.
Come to the cab.
Bye, dickhead. You'll be waiting in the cab then. I have the mask.
Can Tam acquire more hash browns for the road? It's been a while since she's had a proper decent meal.
As you go up to the bar or the table of food, you look at the skeleton who's serving the hash browns, and you kind of look like Oliver.
Please, sir, may I have some more?
And the skeleton, even though it doesn't have a face or anything left, you can see that it somehow, it looks like it's sad and feels bad for you. So out of, like, nowhere, it pulls out a takeout container and just lops, like, five big heaping helpings into it and, like, sneakily slides it over to you, like, looking back and forth to make sure the other skeletons didn't know.
Tam quickly, like, puts it into a bag. And says, oh, thank you very much.
And as you say thank you very much, the floor under the skeleton actually lights on fire, and you see it just get pulled straight down, and it just disappears completely from in front of you.
So your greed killed somebody already.
I'm chaotic neutral, shut up. Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
I'm surrounded by murderers and monsters.
Hello.
Tam leaves both with the hash browns because, you know, she's hungry.
At least his death wasn't in vain. You got the hash browns.
And to be fair...
I'm so glad I'm not playing Sanctity today.
To be fair, Tam, we have got a lot of angry demons and devils and God of what else here. It's like being ejects again.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, would you like to talk about anything else or do anything else in the dining hall before we head our way out to the cab?
I'll be good to go.
I'm going to add hash browns to my inventory.
Oh, yeah, definitely add the hash browns to your inventory. I like it. Okay, well, with that...
I slip on my way out. I give Lorelei 10 blood rubies just to say thank you for pissing off Bart.
Yes, the dining hall doors are actually quite near the front desk, and you don't actually know how you didn't notice them the first time you were here. Once again, you're a little weirded out by how this dining hall even exists in this space, because the doors, while you are walking out of, there isn't, like, walls around these doors at all, and you can't see the dining hall except unless you're looking through the doors. But they close behind you.
It's a TARDIS dining hall.
But with that, you slip some money to Lorelei, and all five of you now join Cal outside in the front. And the entire city of Ganymede is actually more a bustle than it was last time when you walked out here. As this Circles of Hell company retreat is absolutely massive, and there seems to be devils and demons just aplenty everywhere, plus the normal... just creatures and angels and humans and everything else that are normally there, but there's even more. So the whole city is just a cacophony of noise. And this taxi service that Bard said he hired for you actually doesn't always run, but during big events like this, they do run this taxi service to help people get around in Ganymede. So as you walk out, you see a large yellow what looks like just a big circle that has one single door on it and four exterior wheels. And it doesn't seem to have anyone driving it. And it says on the outside, Ganymede Taxi Service. And the door swings open. See a very large circular with seats all around the outside. And as you all climb into the taxi, the door closes behind you and you can hear a voice begin to talk. It says, "Welcome to GTS, your service to get anywhere in Ganymede. Your taxi ride has been paid for today by
Vicious,
and thus your payment will be required." And with that, the taxi begins to just go, and it takes you across the streets of Ganymede, and no regard for people or anything that's in front of it. So as you're going out the front, like, window, you can see people are just diving the fuck out of the way, because this thing is going up on the sidewalk. It has no fucking regard. It's trying to get to its destination, regardless of what's in front of it, as fast as it fucking can. Because apparently...
Yeah, is this crazy taxi?
They just paid for the express service.
Does it
service.
Have DPD on the side of it?
Does it have what?
DPD.
We get dumped into a hedge.
There's a baby Hermes. While we're in the cab, I say to Tam, little word of advice. Don't look up when you get out.
Why not?
Sometimes the sky has got scary things in it.
Okay, thank you for the heads up, I suppose.
Well, you seem like a nice person, so, you know, I'm not saying that Damien's not nice, but Damien can be scary. But Damien's very scary, and I do feel safe with Damien around, but I also feel scared when Damien's around, and I say that as someone who can channel electricity. So, you know, that's it all, really. So, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you.
No problem.
At the mention of the sky, Noonvark looks like he's listening to the sound of silence in his head, so... Because he did look up at the sky.
Noonvark is reminded of the horrors that he
just
saw
go,
there.
Just the screen, like, the screen just goes black and white for a second and has a rain effect on it.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Damien rubs his eyes.
But with that, the taxi, like, as it's whipping about the streets, comes to a sudden and violent stop. And you realize that without you noticing, when you sat down, you were magically, like, suctioned to the seat. Because you can feel the amount of velocity and G-force on yourself as it comes to a stop, as the you like almost feel yourself fly out of the seat, but it like holds you in place so that you're safely there. And the voice once again comes over from the top.
Destination has been arrived upon. Thank you so much for using GTS, your wonderful taxi service here in Ganymede, serving your every need and putting you to sleep if need be. Bye-bye.
I'm not sure wonderful is the word I'd use.
And with that, the door of the taxi swings open, and you can feel that you're released from the magical enchantment that was on the seat.
Okay. Well, time to GTF out of this.
Time to get outside and potentially vomit into the nearest bush.
What is with everything in this bloody city being about, like, hurling us around the place? Like, the hotel elevators, this...
It's all about speed, baby. The need for speed.
I can't let it be, but this is ridiculous.
I got a need.
Damien, we are in hell.
This is
purgatory.
I haven't been torn apart yet, so...
It's okay. You won't get torn apart. You are the devil incarnate, basically.
I'd argue that's vicious, but, you know.
One day you're going to kill him. We know this.
I mean, yeah. But also, he did explode that lion guy.
That
good
seems
point.
Advisable, but okay.
Good
that
point,
say.
But in fairness, Granddad was old.
Let me explain something, Tam. I'm Damien. Let's just say Vicious and I aren't on great terms right now. As in, he nearly pulled my arms and legs off because I sassed him. So, you know.
That's generally why you don't sass people, but...
He's a dick!
There's a thing known as tact. Damien, your like neck begins to ring, and your like hearing kind of goes away for a second, and it's just that like loud like tinnitus like ringing in your ear, where it's just really fucking annoying, and that's going on now. It's gonna go on for the next 10 minutes. So if you need to roll for anything, you will be doing so at disadvantage.
Is that all of us, or just Damien?
Just me.
Just Damien.
Oh, good.
Vicious doesn't like me, and I don't like him.
But
doesn't really care.
With that, you do find yourself outside of the newly renamed Golden Crane Hatchery. There is a brand new magical sign that is now in front of it. It has the beautiful gold lettering that you would see inside the Golden Crane Casino. And it's in like neon script so that you can see it from afar. And as you walk up to said Golden Crane Hatchery, you realize that they've already repainted the outside completely into a beautiful gold with red inlays on the outside of this schoolhouse. All the bars have been replaced with like nice shimmery like black onyx bars. So the whole place kind of just shines and looks like gorgeous and new from the outside.
I have to say, this looks like my sort of place.
What?
Right. I draw my hammer.
I just mean it looks fancy.
What?
I'm used to it.
What did you say?
Tam rolls her eyes at Damien.
If I cast deafness on Damien, would his hearing get any better?
I think it'd get worse.
Just in case we need music, I hold out my hand and my guitar comes flying to my hand. And then I obviously put it on my back.
Did you just step further away from him?
Did you just Accio your guitar?
My guitar is literally Thor's hammer.
Oh god.
That's pretty cool.
Great, we have two Thors in the bloody party and neither of them are attractive. Nunvark's the attractive one.
Actually comes to me. I mean, it comes to me when I hold out my hand, and I can also cast, by the way, so I'm doing a better job than you, LB.
I possibly play my flute, even though I can't hear what I'm playing.
Oh god, so it's just going to sound terrible.
As you're all just having a little outside the front doors of the Golden Crane Hatchery, the doors spring open in front of you to open up to the room that you were in last time, that you recognize as being the room with anti-magic fields.
Is it still here?
It's still there. Yeah. As you step into the room, Julius does not disappear. As I said before, it's just to keep things in. So Julius remains on your shoulder. But you can tell, as you've been in here before, I'm not going to make you roll for this, the magic users in the group, so basically all of you, can heal, is now much more powerful. That it's now the magic before where it was just there, like you feel it in the background. Now it's almost a bit oppressive, where it feels like a pressure is just all around you at all times as you're in here. But as you all step into this room, in front of you, once again, the wall is all black at first, but then just the darkness just fades away and it becomes completely clear. And on the other side of the glass, in a chair with his boots up on a table and spinning around his large silver magnum, and you know as Vash. And he smiles with his Githrocky smile as he looks through the glass at you. When you do look at him, you can tell he looks a bit different this time. His hair seems to be a bit shorter and somehow also like a whiter blonde. And his clothes, instead of being the red long trench coat you saw him in before, he's now just wearing a very like nice like black suit with like a three-piece suit, so you can see the under vest that is all in white as well.
From velvet, is it?
It is not made from velvet.
Oh my god.
I mean, I don't even know who he is.
Oh look, he's not stuck in a wall this time.
With that, the man you know as Vash laughs. Oh, how I missed this from you all. Oh, you know, I was so happy when Vicious came to me with the assignment to follow you through the queue, first of all. And now he's given me this position of power over you again.
Oh, how I missed this. How have you been?
I can still remove your organs alphabetically.
I can still hit you with my hammer.
I don't know who you are.
I'm not talking to these people at the moment.
With that, he looks at the two that he's not met before, and he goes, oh, my apologies. They know me as Vash, but my real name is Knives. Knives, at your service here.
He's a dick.
I am one of Vicious's best lieutenants. And so you can see he's still spinning a very large silver, like, magnum hand cannon, just staring at you all.
Do you want to put the gun away, please?
Oh, I never put away the angel's wing. Better safe than sorry, they always tell ya.
Yeah, he's basically married to that thing, don't bother.
I will tell you all before I know what you're here for, and I have already prepared the mounts, so don't worry. The creatures are prepared and ready for your journey. But I was so happy to see you come here, and I just want to remind you that I am one of Vicious's top employees, so any act of violence you might be thinking about right now would be, how do I say, a poor decision. And he kind of, like, gives a side, like, smirky look towards Damien as he does stop spinning the magnum, and he points it directly at Damien.
Phew!
But let's get to business. He swings his boots off of the desk that he had them on, and you see as he hits a button on the wall behind him, the doors of the magical box open to the inside, and he stands up, and he walks out to see the five of you.
Looking good, I must tell you. The cube did wonders for all of your skin. Just looking so good, you three.
Okay, for not enough hours in my life, and I'm a dwarf, there's much mincing.
What do you want, Knives?
With that, he once again just kind of smiles at you. And
this way.
And as he leads you away towards the opposite wall that you didn't notice the first time you were in here because you were in the battle with Hawkins. You, as you're walking through, this time you do notice that there are multiple doors that have barred windows on them. And on the outside of these doors, you can see that there are names for these animals. You can see that one says Chimera. Another says Mimic / Treasure Chest. Another says Grick. There's another door that says Pegasus next to it. But Vicious does not lead you, Knives does not lead you to any of these doors. He instead leads you to a large bank of doors, and he pushes two handles in as he opens up into what is a large gymnasium and auditorium. But this has been converted into what we would say kind of like a docile creature, like happy cage, where there are a large 10-foot tall chain link fences. And inside are all manner of just seems peaceful creatures that are grazing on what seems to be magically created grass and hay and foliage and all sorts of things in this room. And Vicious walks forward and once again kind of just motions over his shoulder as he does finally holster his gun. And he walks to the front of the chain link fence. He opens it up and he, from his pocket, pulls out what looks like just a cluster of greens. Like, you can't really tell what they are exactly. Between his hands, he grinds them up between his hands and throws them into the air. And as he does this, you hear a loud, "Queen!" And five large, golden-looking birds run up from this foliage to the front of Vicious. You can see they're already equipped with saddles, and it looks like there are five large birds standing in front of you now.
Are we riding fucking chocobos?
You can make me an insight check on that if you would like. Insight perception.
Okay. Hey, your girlfriends. No, not his girlfriend.
16.
You definitely realize that these are fucking chocobos. With that check, you do realize that these are yellow chocobos. And they are all very happy and smiley to see you. You can see they're almost prancing in spot as they keep going, quee, quee, quee. And they're like happily flapping their wings about. And with that, Knives motions, and you don't even see that. It looks like he just grabs like some invisible like reins, and he like leads the five of them. And he once again tells you all to follow him. And he goes like past the double doors to the what looks like a solid wall. But as he walks to this wall, you see him touch like five different bricks very quickly. And as he does that, the wall itself actually kind of splits and then opens and taller into a large, like 8-foot by 12-foot gate that will let you out of this auditorium. And with that, Vicious turns to you. I do love catching up with all of you, but Mr. Vicious does have work for you. So please take your birds. And I've already been paid, so no need to worry about that. But please make sure to stop back in and say hi when you get back. I'm sure you'll have so many tales to tell me. And with that, he once again pulls out his magnum, and he once again points it at Davian, just with like a side smirking smile. Pew, pew. Shots to the heart.
You're too late.
And with that, Knives takes his leave of you and walks out of the auditorium, leaving you with these five yellow chocobos.
Before you shoot yourself.
Before he leaves, would I get out? Did he holster his gun?
He had it back out at that point.
Damn it, okay.
You can't steal his gun.
I was gonna steal his gun and leave it where we're going.
That'd be a worse idea than me attacking him.
Okay. But as I stated, you are now in, you now have acquired five chocobos, and you are now released back out. You know that you must exit the north exit. So, Damien, you have the map, but it is up to you all what you would like to do next.
I guess it's time to get into the saddles, I suppose.
I'll give I'll give LB a boost, because he's in heavy armor.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Cal.
I mean, if we're getting on a ferry, can't we just lead them to the ferry and mount them once with the ferry's done?
I'm a dwarf. I want to ride the giant bird.
Okay.
I will tell you right now, from when you were looking at the map of Ganymede with Bart, you realize that the need, not just of Ganymede City, like the actual entire island, from what Bart showed you, from just that, you probably need these mounts to even reach the edge of said city in any like short amount of time, because the actual size of Ganymede outside of Ganymede Square is massive, just a massive cluster of buildings and all other manner of structures in that nature. So these mounts are as important to your journey as anything else.
Okay.
I'll hop on my mount then.
I'll get on a bird.
Would you all like to know the names of your birds?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh god.
So, Bart.
Also, does animal handling help me with my chocobo?
No. You like these are perfectly trained chocobos. You don't even need animal handling.
Good.
These are the best birds you could ever imagine. Like they just the minute you sit on the mound, you actually feel a very like psychic connection to the bird, where it almost feels that you've attuned to said chocobo that's in front of you.
Aww.
I'm only connected to one bird, and he's a spirit.
He's not a bird.
The chocobo, like, tries to, like, get through the hard shell that's around Damien's heart with the psychic, and instead of, like, it says it can't break through, it just, like, the spirit just sits on, like, the top of the shell, just, like, waiting that maybe a crack might form eventually.
You'll be waiting a long time.
Your birds are named as follows. Nunvark, yours is named Posh. Cal, yours is named Scary. Damien's, yours is named Ginger. LB, yours is named Baby. And Tam, yours is named Sporty.
That's fantastic.
That's I love it.
I'm honestly surprised I didn't get scary.
You got the, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. You didn't get scary. But, so you can put on your inventories or whatever that you do have a chocobo and a chocobo's name. You now know this.
Sporty.
Baby is the name of my chocobo.
We've got Sporty Chocobo.
I feel like Moonbark's one's name actually fits him.
It's the Chocobo Girls.
Alright, but with that, are you just going to head out of town then?
Yep. I think so, yes.
Okay. I will narrate what happens then here for a moment. The streets are, you know, pretty crazy, and the cacophony and noise is everywhere. But now that you're on these chocobo mounts, you breeze through the streets. It seems that these birds also kind of elicit a feeling of just happiness around them at all times. So as you're like cantering through the streets, like everyone just, they're like smiling as you go by, and everyone just seems happier as you're going. So you go down.
I love these birds, and I will protect my life.
So as you head down
about this
Cloverfield Lane, with Tam just being super happy and Damien sitting with his arms crossed on the chocobo, just angrily bouncing along on the bird as people are like smiling at him as he walks by, like glaring at them.
So we're just galloping our way across, are we?
Yeah. You're heading down Cloverfield Lane, you come to the town square, you take a left up onto Fleet Street, and you head towards the North Gate. As you arrive at the North Gate, Cal remembers this gate quite fondly, as this is where he did finally manage to make his way into the city. And as you all approach on your chocobos, you notice that there are multiple golden warforged, 8 foot tall, in solid gold armor plating, with large gold halberds or great swords or great axes, who stand in front of this gate. And you approach it, see a large circular door that has a large red gold or red dragon that almost could be a snake, you're not completely sure, head carved into this door. And as you approach the Warforged, they seem to know that you were coming, and one of them turns and he puts his hand directly into the center of the dragon emblem. And as he does this, the door kind of circularly opens around him, like opening wider and wider and wider until it's just a giant, like 10 foot circular hole into this wall. And as he does this, he motions you to come along, and the chocobos begin to pull out fucking sprint and like heading into this chasm. And the Warforged, amazingly though, just full on like running man, keeps up with all of you as he's like running next to you. But as you're going through this, you realize you're on a floating pathway. It's about 8 feet wide. And as it's rushing by you, you can see what looks like lightning strikes hitting, like at all times. Like there's an invisible barrier around you that lightning is just constantly, energy is just flying all around you. And you realize that you're actually inside a magical barrier as you're going through this like pathway. And this pathway is actually cut through said magical barrier that must be protecting Ganymede Town Square. But with top speeds that your chocobos and this Warforged is going at, you all reach the other side very quickly of this 80-foot long passageway. And once again, inserts his hand into the center of another exactly the same circular door that's on the other side. He inserts his arm, and it begins to open circularly, spinning round and round until it's a large 10-foot opening. And as it opens, he steps out and steps to the side, and you are now back outside Ganymede Town Square in the scary streets of Ganymede.
Oh, joy.
At this time, I will remind you all, don't look up. The creatures definitely are once again able to see you, and bad things could happen. But at this moment,
Dunvark has learned his lesson. But if the creatures can see him, can you like Can they feel themselves being watched down on the ground? Or?
Oh, at times you do feel like that, just the hairs on the back of your neck, like just stand up at any random time. And you don't know if it's because there's something in one of the buildings you're passing by, or if it's because something from the sky is staring down at you. You're really not sure. Being outside of Ganymede Town Square, you now realize how safe and wonderful it felt actually being inside the like parameters of the city and not having to feel this constant like worry about you. Because the minute you step outside, you do feel that even the chocobo's like happiness seems to have dissipated a bit, and you can feel that they're a bit on edge as well.
Just down and like pats her chocobo just to kind of try and calm it, because she can tell it's not very happy.
It gives a nice whee as it like rubs its head into your like hand, like to get patted more. It does like that. Your chocobo is still quite anxious, but it does seem to feel better a little bit.
Aw, I love my chocobo.
Yeah, if you try to pat Damien, he will blast your face off.
Yeah, I'm not gonna pat him. He's not half as cute.
That's the point.
With that, I will tell you that your journey to the edge of Ganymede will, on the back of the chocobo, still take you about a full day. You are able to rest on the back of these chocobos or trance, and they will keep going. But unless there's anything you would like to do before you begin your journey, prepare anything, I will say that you're going to start heading north.
Okay. I don't think I have anything that I would benefit from doing now.
I'll wait till we get there before I use my thing.
Nimbark just goes back to having conversations in his head with his real best friend. Not the one you guys fucking murdered.
Hey, I didn't do anything.
The mirror.
I think that's the first time ever in 6 months of D&J that Kerry's ever been triggered.
Okay, then.
Can Nimbark actually access his patronite here, or...? Is there anything blocking him?
Nope. So, real quickly, no one else can hear this. The conversation you're having in your head with your patron, you can hear each other, but once again, it feels like there's something blocking part of the connection. So, you only hear about every third word of the conversation that Dandelion is trying to display to you. It's like a really bad Wi-Fi connection.
It's like being on the phone
makes
him
feel unsafe.
Yeah, but you're just hearing, you, love, bad, like just that, just like every choppy words, but that is what you are hearing in your head as you try and contact your Patreon, or patron.
Well, you're very unsafe.
Don't bother contacting his.
I love the idea of a D&D variant world where you subscribe to deities for $1 a month.
Deity-only fans.
I mean, Damien's subscription fee was quite high, as Chad knows, so, you know. Kind of exists.
But does he pay every month?
It's more of an ongoing contract.
Then it's not Patreon. Sorry, this is a bad
Prime.
Okay, are we all ready to get her back going?
Yes,
sir. Nunbark the Sulky is ready.
Fantastic. So, as you head north, you're going along, and it takes a whole day. About halfway through your journey, 12 hours in, some of you, we're going to say that LB is currently sleeping on his chocobo, just kind of bouncing along. Cal is sitting there playing his guitar happily, just kind of quietly jamming out. Damien is, of course, just still angrily annoyed, but does feel a little better out here in the chaotic world, because, you know, it's just chaos out here. And then Tam and Nunvark, just both to be very happily going. But as you're cantering along on your chocobos, suddenly, from in front of you, you see a large cart drawn by what looks like a skeletal horse coming towards you. It's not like, you know, screeching towards you or anything like that. But you can see that it's a little bit away. It's probably about a good 60 feet ahead of you at this moment. But as it notices you, it turns and it pulls sideways to block the entire street. And
that doesn't seem so good.
What does this mysterious traveler have to offer our adventurers? Is he good? Is he evil? Will Tam eat the rest of their hash browns? Will our adventurers reach the Sea of Fog or get to Isla Diablo? Find out next time on Dungeons & Junkies Presents Escape from Ulfam. This podcast was brought to you by me, Chad, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Mad Attack Productions.